So welcome, everybody. We're so lucky today to be joined by Russ Henneberry. Russ is the founder of TheClick.com. He's executed digital marketing plans for brands such as Salesforce.com, Crazy Egg, and Digital Marketer. Russ has trained and certified thousands of professionals in SEO, social media marketing, and content marketing through his coaching, courses, stage presentations, as well as his book, Digital Marketing for Dummies. In addition, he recently authored AWAI's course, SEO Copywriting Certification. But something you may not know about Russ is that before diving into marketing, he was actually a history teacher. So it is because of his passion for teaching combined with his marketing smarts that we are so excited that he is joining us today for this training, which is sure to be amazing. So Russ, why don't you take it away?
I shall. Thank you for that intro. That's so nice. And let me make sure my screen is sharing. As soon as you say the word, I will.
Yeah, if you can maximize it so that we can see just the slide. Yep, cool.
Yeah. Yep, and so Fran was talking about Q&A. I really, really encourage questions throughout. This is a really cool topic because right now there's a huge opportunity that I'm seeing, and this is the reason why I'm so excited about search engine optimization right now. I'm going to be talking about how to determine the keywords that are valuable to clients, because some keywords are what we call money keywords, other keywords are pretty much useless, and I'm going to teach you how to find good keywords for your clients and your writing clients. So I'm going to be talking about how to get those clients more traffic from Google using something called seeds and modifiers, which is really a cool way to just put a twist on your keywords that you choose and make them easier for your clients to rank for them in the search engines. Then I'm going to give you 5 free tools that you can use to find these keywords. These are the tools I use. I actually do have a paid tool that I can tell you about. It's called SEM Rush. But you don't need that to do what you're doing. You can use the 5 free tools I'm going to give you, and that will be sufficient for what you need. Then don't forget that we're going to be giving away some resources today. One of them is your keyword planner, which we're going to go through today. So hang on, and we'll show you how to get a hold of that. And let's rock and roll, Jade. I want to talk about this opportunity because – the reason that I approached AWAI and AWAI have been doing some SEO work on their site is because of this opportunity that is happening right now. And that is that there's a couple of things happening all at once, including the COVID-19 pandemic, which is also increased the need for people that understand digital marketing. Right. So, everybody's trying to figure out how to go to the internet and get business. And so that is an absolutely 100%, huge surge towards everybody being interested in what we call digital marketing, which is, gives them the ability to still market in this pandemic. But the other things that are also happening at the same time, and this was huge news before the pandemic, where the pandemic has kind of sucked all the oxygen out of the room in terms of what everybody's talking about, but these things are still happening, and one of them is privacy. So there's a huge concern about people's privacy and the way Facebook and Google, who are the biggest players in digital marketing traffic, the way Facebook and Google deal with our privacy. And so there's this problem that guys like Mark Zuckerberg, this is him in front of Congress testifying about what Facebook does with our data and things like that. And what that's doing is it's creating a problem for people that were really relying on traffic that gets bought from guys like Zuckerberg and the good folks over at Google. And so when paid traffic starts to become a problem, when buying traffic starts to become a problem, we see an equal reaction for free traffic, which is the traffic I'm going to teach you how to get for your clients. I'm going to teach you how to get free traffic from your clients. And I'm telling you that there's a huge demand for this right now, because of privacy concerns about advertising and the way people buy traffic these days. So that's happening. You know, in addition to COVID-19 and everybody moving to digital, there's privacy problems. And we're seeing, you know, we've been seeing this massive move towards mobile and tons of people, you know, literally walking around the street using search engines like Google. Really, what we're talking about today is Google and the way people search for information, for products to buy, to compare products. They're doing it more and more right there from their phones in something that Google calls micro moments. So micro moments are categorized into four different categories. I want to know something. So think about how you use your, especially your mobile phone, right? You might be driving around, you might be sitting on a park bench, you might be anywhere, and you're using your phone and you type in things you want to know. You type in places you want to go. You type in things you want to do, and you type in things that you want to buy. And when I say type in, what I mean is that you are typing a query into a search engine. Most of the time, about 80% of the time, it's Google that you're typing it into. So let's talk about what the heck is SEO anyway. And here's a real technical definition from the good folks at Moz. It's the practice of increasing quantity and quality of traffic to a website through what we call the organic search results. That word organic means quote unquote free traffic. All right. So what we mean by that is it's not the paid ads that we talked about earlier that are becoming a problem right now because of privacy issues. So take a look at this query right here. Let's say I go to Google and I type in, what is SEO, right? And that is a query, that is a keyword, and that is the subject of today's training, is what are keywords, how do we find the right keywords, and how do we incorporate them into the things we're writing for clients? How do we create a business around understanding how Google works and how keywords work and how to get our clients free traffic? Because I promise you, if you add this skill, it is very much in demand, and you can build a business around it, or you can add it to your existing services. So let's take a look at how Google works at the highest level. So if I go in and I type in the term mountain biking equipment into Google, a lot of different things are happening on this page, a lot of different things. Back in the day when I got started in this stuff, there used to be just what we called 10 blue links. It was just 10 blue links. That's it. That was the Google search results page. Today, there is a lot of different things going on, and I'm going to go through those right now. So the first one I want to talk about are the ads. Now, people are paying for placement here, and this is not what we're here to talk about today. Remember, I'm talking about organic search results, and these are the opposite of that. These are the paid search results. So somebody that wants to bid in an auction to rank up here above everything else, this is how Google makes their money. So Google is a little over $1 trillion business last time I looked. Maybe fell back under that with all that's going on right now, but they are an enormous company and they make most of their revenue from these little cute little ads that they run around all of their search results. They run them in Gmail, they run them everywhere. But this is not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about these over here, this is like breaking news type stuff. This all used to be paid as well. And you can see that says sponsored up there. But as of this week, they are starting to allow what we call the free search results to exist inside of what's called Google Shopping. So if you've ever typed in something about shoes or, technology like digital cameras or anything into Google, they're going to show you Google Shopping results. And there is a mix of in here of ads plus that free stuff that we can get for our clients. Now, where I really want to talk about today, though, is this kind of stuff down here. This result here from verywellfit.com is here because it earned it. It earned its way there, and we're going to talk about that today. How do you earn your way there? How do you find a keyword like mountain biking equipment and get your client this result right here, because this result is getting a ton of traffic, They're very, very happy with that placement right there on that nice, what we call a money keyword. And then underneath that, you have more organic stuff right here. You have more organic or free stuff. These are not ads. Up here, we have the ads. And remember, there's a lot of people that have been very reliant upon using the ad section to get their traffic that are now going, like privacy concerns, problems with COVID-19 are causing marketing budgets to shrink. So a lot of people right now are looking for people that understand search engine optimization, and they are looking for writers, especially, that understand keywords and search engine optimization. So I hope you're excited. Let's jump in, because I want to talk about the most important word in SEO copywriting. The most important word in SEO copywriting is intent. Intent. And if you can wrap your head around this concept, you're going to be, you know, what I was describing, you're going to have the skill that I was talking about of understanding how search works, how we as consumers of information, products, services, everything else, how we use search engines. And we use every time we go to a search engine to search something. I want you to think about how you use a search engine. Every time we go and type something in, we have some intent. And the intents that we care about as business people when you work with your clients are these right here. You care about research intent, compare intent, buy intent, and succeed intent. These are the four types of intent that we go to the search engine. Sometimes we go to the search engine because we're just for something stupid, right? Like a friend says to us, like, no, I'm telling you so-and-so team won the World Cup in such and such year. And it's like, oh, I'll just type that in. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about intent that drives commerce, intent that drives purchases, intent that that drives leads and sales and things like that for clients, for businesses. So let's unpack this. This is what we're going to be doing today. We're going to really be working with this. This is actually a part of the keyword planner that you're going to get later today. Oh, and Jade, I forgot to tell them that at the end, we're actually going to give you access to another resource that we literally just launched at AWAI that is super awesome. And then a second resource that I want to talk to you about as well towards the end. But this right here, you're going to get this as we move along here. I'm going to give you access to the Keyword Planner. This is a piece of it, and I'm going to keep showing you more and more of it as we go along. But I want you to start thinking about how people use search. When they go to the search engines, they type things in that they want to research. They type things in that they want to compare. They type things in they want to buy. They type in things they want to succeed with. And let's go through that a little bit. So what I want to do really quick is run through an actual example of this, because I want to show you how intent changes. What I'm showing you here is essentially like the life cycle of search. Now, let's pretend that you're thinking about becoming a mountain biker. Okay, so you're going to become a mountain biker, and you're thinking about doing that, and you're like, well, first I need to know, what equipment do I need to be a mountain biker? So you go to Google and you type in equipment for a mountain biker. So let's take a look at how the search results change as our intent changes. So if I type in this keyword, equipment for mountain biking, I start seeing a lot of research intent content that I can use, like this from Very Well Fit gives me a short list of essential mountain biking gear. So with research intent, you want to create a different article for your client. So when I go in and I type in something like equipment for mountain biking, I'm not ready to buy yet. I'm not ready to buy, but there is traffic here. There's traffic to be had, and there's traffic to bring people in and maybe nurture them along until they start buying from your client, or they start opting in and reading their blog if they're a publisher. But what we're talking about today are these actual keywords right here? Equipment for mountain biking. Why is Very Well Fit ranking in that first position? You know, why is Bike Radar next? Why is REI.com in the fourth position down here? That's SEO. And that is a skill that is very much in demand. Why does that work? How does it work that way? And it's the very foundation of all of this search is the keyword. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So take a look at the next query. Let's say I went and I read this article about all the different things I need. And I'm like, okay, big thing here is to protect my dome, right? I don't want to get a head injury. So I'm going to start looking for a helmet. Because that's kind of a primary thing. So the next query I go to Google with, the next keyword I type in is safest mountain biking helmet. I go in and I type that in. You can see my intent. You can see it evolving. So let's look at that query. So now I type in safest mountain biking helmet. My intent has changed a little bit. So the content changes a little bit. It pops some Google shopping results now because they know I'm after a helmet. Let me shut this off. This is a little plugin that I use for SEO. But all right, so what do we got here? More informational research type content from Deadham Bike there. These are there's more content here from Bike Radar, from Outside Pursuits. Why are these ranking where they rank? Because of search engine optimization. Bicycling.com in the third position, Outdoor Gear Lab in the fourth position. So you could see that my intent changed as the person that wants to be a mountain biker, as a searcher. My intent changed a little bit. I changed from equipment, which was a really broad research intent keyword. Great to rank for that, but also great to rank for this because the person's like after a helmet. Now, what if I go and now my intent changes because I read this thing about safest mountain biking helmets and I'm like, okay, let me just get some mountain biking helmet reviews. All right. So now my intent has changed. I'm looking for reviews of mountain biking helmets. So now what kind of content needs to be written? What kind of content needs to be produced to satisfy that intent? So that's the key here is to understand that when somebody buys something or becomes a lead or starts to read a publication or whatever that client wants, people move through these different stages of intent. So right now I'm in, hey, I want to get some reviews. That's the intent that I have now. So how does the content change? Well, Google's still showing me products. But that now I'm seeing like, MTB helmet reviews, best mountain biking helmets, best mountain bike helmets of 2020, and the content changed. Now, you sitting there listening to this could have written this content. Is it could have written, Jade, or is it could have wroten? Or is it could have wroted?
Let's say written.
I think it's wroted, actually.
But they don't, you know, I'm sure somebody will tell us.
I'm kidding. Don't comment about that. My grammar's horrible. But I still call myself a writer somehow. Now, look at this. You could have wroted this. You totally could have wroted this. So, yeah, I mean, this is written by an SEO copywriter right here. And this is a very in-demand skill right here to be able to write this article. Now, what if my intent changes again? I went from, you know, this could all happen in a single sitting. Like I could sit here at my computer one morning with my coffee and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to become a mountain biker. And so I'm going to look up the equipment and then I move along to safest mountain biking helmet and then I start looking at helmet reviews. Or it might happen over the course of months or even years where somebody keeps moving their intent along. But regardless, this is how people use search engines. So number four is this brand. This brand bike helmet versus this brand bike helmet. Now, this is where people start getting close to busting out their credit card and making a purchase. So let's look at that intent. So Giro bike helmet versus Bell. All right. This is a keyword right here that this company right here, the company that makes that helmet and the company that makes that helmet should be very interested in, but they probably are not understanding to be interested in it. That's why they need your help. They need somebody to come in and say, yeah, you should build articles and pages that stack your bike helmet against your competitors. That is an amazing insight, and that gives you plenty to write about, because there's going to be a lot of competitors that you could build content that stacks your helmet against their helmet. So look at what happens here. You know, you see the intent change. I'm in a more compare type intent. So now I see the content change, bike forums, cycling forums, some YouTube videos now pop. So, you know, Consumer Reports, Cycling Weekly. So the intent changes, the content changes. Now, let's say we evolve again and it's like, okay, I read the comparison between these two. I'm ready to buy. Now, this is what we call deep in the funnel, deep in the purchasing funnel keyword phrase that somebody might type in. Let's see what happens when we punch that in. If I say buy this helmet, now Google's going to pop a lot of stuff here that you could help your clients get ranked for. You would hope that the company Giro, if that's how you spell it, I don't even know, but or say it. It's kind of like Roded. Roded and Giro. Jade, are there people like yelling at me?
No, the people have spoken, Russ, and I'm very happy to report that I was correct and it is written.
It was written.
So now you're just butchering it even worse. Let's carry on.
So you see the ads up here from Moose Jaw, and you know, you can actually even see the actual brand itself buying this traffic, but they do rank in their first position for this branded keyword. So again, intent changes and the content changes. Now, last one we're going to talk about is, let's say I bought the helmet and I've been using it for like 2 years and I love it, but now my strap breaks. My strap broke on my Giro helmet. And so I go back to Google and I type in Giro helmet strap replacement, and bang, you know, you get new results for that. Let's look at how this looks in our model of intent. So we had two keywords that were in the research stage: equipment for mountain biking and safest mountain biking helmet. You know, if we go back to these queries that we talked about, and then we saw this possible customer, this searcher, move along in the evolution towards buying to more compare type stuff, where they're like, oh, you know, like let's look at different reviews. And then they started to type in actual brands, because this person's learning and they're becoming smarter about, okay, what do I need to mountain bike? Cool, I need a helmet. All right, so what are the safest helmets? Cool. Okay, let's do a bunch of reviews. Let's look at those. Great. What are the different brands people are recommending? Okay, let's start typing these brands in. So then they start typing in what we call branded keywords. These are the keywords that, again, start to indicate purchase intent, which is where we get to this buy stage here, where somebody's like, buy. I mean, I have to guess that everybody on this call has typed a keyword like this into Google multiple times. Buy whatever, purchase X, right? And then we get into succeed intent, which is the one where the person's already purchased your product, but they're trying to use it better, or you know, use your product better, or they're trying to use it at all, right? They don't even understand how to use your product, so they go back into Google, because no one reads the directions anymore, right? They go back into Google and they start searching for, how do I use this, you know, whatever. I use the example of a dishwasher, because we just recently bought a dishwasher. And I had to go back onto Google to figure out how to use this 21st century dishwasher, right? So that was more succeed intent. And you can see that this searcher is looking for a strap replacement for a helmet they already bought. And if they can, if Giro can satisfy this intent with a page and sell them the strap, first of all, they make money, but they also have a happy customer, right? That customer stayed happy. This is huge for software companies, for example. When you buy software and you don't know how to use it, a lot of times you go to Google and ask Google, like, how do I do this with this software? How do I do that with that software? And those software companies need to be anticipating that intent and building content or paying writers like you to build content that satisfies that succeed intent and gets that page to rank in the search engine so that somebody can find it and be happy with their software. So software, huge on that succeed intent. But let's kick along here to the idea of seeds and modifiers. But first, Jade, is this making sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We have just a little comment that it's JIRA, so that you get that correct. And then a very popular question, Russ, because you were sharing your Chrome, that is, what keyword plugin do you use?
Oh, geez, I don't even remember the name of that one. It's been on there for so long. But I will bring that back up towards the end, and I'll get jump back in Chrome and turn it back on, and then you guys, and I'll actually just show you how it works and stuff.
Awesome. And so everybody else is saying right now that the information is excellent and makes great sense. So I think we're ready to keep rocking.
Oh my God. I'm going to cry. I love that you love this, because I'm telling you guys, this is seriously in demand. Let me just pause real quick here and throw one concept at you guys. This world right now of digital marketing needs writers and artists like you. You don't have to be like, if you've ever heard that SEO is like this big technical nightmare that you have to understand, and that it kills creativity because you have to stuff keywords in different places. And none of that is true anymore. We need truly great creators that understand both how to create something interesting, right? That's like cool or fun or entertaining or inspirational or educational. We need writers like that right now. I need writers like that right now that understand both the search side of it, which is the commerce side, right? How do we make money at this stuff? But also know how to build things that are really just excellent pieces of content. And if that's you, welcome to SEO copywriting, because it's here for you. And like I said, it's trending like this, both because of the pandemic, but also because of a number of other factors that are happening, especially with paid traffic. The opportunity is now to learn this skill and to get after it. So I'm excited to show you the rest of this stuff. If you like that, you're going to love this. So we looked at how this intent has moved along here. Let's talk about this concept called seeds and modifiers, which makes all of this really, really easy. This is the thing that when I realized this about keywords, I was like, ah, God, this makes it so much easier. So what I want you to think about is this concept of a seed keyword versus a modifier to that seed keyword. So let's say we have a seed like buy shoes, buy shoes. So I could go into Google right now and type in buy shoes. There's a couple of things about this keyword. The first one is there's not a lot of intent here. I mean, it does say I want to buy shoes. I have no idea what kind of shoes the person wants to buy. I know very little about this person by this query, except that it seems they want to buy some shoes. But let's take this and say, okay, this is a seed. We're going to start with this, and then we're going to add some modifiers to it that, you know, create much more clear intent that we can take to our content. So the modifier here, let's start with, go from buy shoes to buy women's shoes. Okay, now I know some more. There's more intent here than there was with buy shoes, but let's go a little bit further, because this is a modifier. Let's add what we call a branded modifier to this keyword. So we had buy shoes, then we went to buy women's shoes. We know more. Now let's go to buy Adidas Advantage Cloud Foam shoes. This is a brand right here, a brand modifier to this keyword. Now, if you were working for Adidas as their SEO copywriter, this is the keyword I would recommend you go after, right? You build a page, and it would be the page that sells these shoes, obviously. that is optimized for that keyword by Adidas Advantage Cloud Foam shoes. So this keyword right here, buy shoes, you're going to be competing against the biggest shoe companies on the planet, Zappos and I don't know, who are big shoe companies, Jade? I don't even know.
I'm sure our people will be able to tell us.
So you're going to be competing against the most well-known, largest, most competitive brands. You're going to be competing against Amazon. You're going to be competing against Zappos, et cetera. Even things like women's shoes, it's just too broad. But when you go and you land a small shoe company as a client, you want to be going after keywords like this that show super high intent. And, you know, they're what we call long tail, right? So like more like 4, 5, or 6 words. And the way you get to these less competitive terms that show higher buy intent is by using modifiers. You just add different things to it to make it more specific. All right. So how do you find these keywords? Like, where are they to be found? I'm going to show you several tools and then I'm going to show you a demonstration of my favorite one. There's really two that are my favorite, but I'm going to show you a long demonstration of one in particular that I think you're going to love. So let's look at these keyword research tools. Here's one of my first favorites. And when I need to do some quick and dirty looking for keywords, this is what I start with, is what we call Google's autocomplete function. And you've probably seen it a million times. When you go to type in something into Google, they start to recommend things in your underneath. And what that tells you is that people search these things. So if I start to type in rollover 401k, Google's telling me that these are other things that people type in and that you and what it's there for, the reason Google has it is to make it easy for people to just kind of look along here and say, oh, what I want to do is that. What it's there for you as an SEO copywriter is to find other keywords, good keywords to go after for your clients. So if you look along here, you might find something that's really, really like, how do you roll over 401k while still employed? Well, I could write that article. That's a great article to write. And you go to your client and you say, I'm creating 10 articles for you this month. And one of them is going to be about how to roll over a 401k while employed. And we're going to start bringing in that traffic for you when people search it. So the autocomplete function is one of my all-time favorites, especially when I just need to really quickly do some keyword research. Now, a trick here is if you want to really, really do this and get crazy with it, is you go in and you type in rollover 401k and then you type the letter A. And it'll start giving you all the autocomplete stuff that starts with A. And then, you go and you make some notes and you're like, oh, there's a good one. There's a good one to go after. There's a good one to go after for this client. And then you go in and you type in B. And you start going down and you say, oh, there's another one. And you go C, D, E, right? So because Google knows that you're now trying to type in something that starts with B, it keeps changing all of the recommended keywords. A little super ninja trick there. Now, the other place on the Google search results pages to go after, let's go and just pop into the actual search results again. So Google related search is another place to look. So when I type in mountain biking equipment or equipment for mountain biking, I'm going to get some results, but way down here, I'm going to get searches related to equipment. And there's a bunch of ideas for keywords here as well. That are just waiting for you to build content that satisfies that intent for the searcher. So that's another one, is Google related search. Then we have probably my all-time favorite, which is Answer the Public. So Answer the Public is a free tool, and I'm going to demo that for you at the end of this when we go to fill out our keyword planner. But what Answer the Public does is you type anything in there like rollover 401k and it just spins out all of these different things that people type in about rolling over a 401k. Again, I'm going to demo this in a minute, so I'm going to skip along to here's a more blown up version of that so you can really kind of see just how much detail and how many ideas. Now, if you're a writer that's looking for article ideas for a finance company that does 401k rollovers, here, I just put you, got you busy for the next year to write articles and content that is SEO optimized using Answer the Public. So, yeah, and you can even download that as a little Excel file or a CSV file. Now, let's look at the Google Keyword Planner. So Google, I told you, makes most of its money off of selling access to their audience, basically. So when somebody types in rollover 401k, you can buy that keyword and run an ad on it. And they have a tool called the Google Ad Keyword Planner that you can use to do keyword research for free. It used to be 100% free, and it is still free, but now you have to create a Google Ads account. You don't have to fund it or pay for ads or anything like that, but they do make you create an ad account. But then you go in there, you type in things like rollover of 401k, and it starts to spit out a ton of different keywords. Now, what they want you to do is select these and then go buy those keywords using ads. But what you're going to do is look along here and find stuff to build content about that can bring in that free organic traffic through SEO. Now, the last one and my favorite one, guys, is common sense. What's the article about? So sometimes we start with the keyword and then we go build the article. But there's a lot of times where there's already an article. It's the page is written. And so you look at it and you say, what is this page about? And you just use your common sense to come up with the right keyword phrase. You don't need a tool. You don't need all these things. You just use your brain to say, well, what would I type in, right? What is this article actually about? And so your brain, you know, your brain is the best keyword research tool. And especially I'll encourage you, if you guys are going to go and start doing this, when you start using Google next time, observe what you're doing, you know, like observe how you search, observe the page after you search, start paying attention to how you use Google, and your common sense about how to choose keywords will get even better. Now, I love this thing. This is the Keyword Research Planner. We're going to give you this thing that you can use with your clients, that you can use for your own business if that's what you want to do. This is the Keyword Research Planner that I use. It's the Keyword Research Planner that I teach in the SEO copywriting certification class. And it looks like this. Now, Jade, where can they grab a copy of that?
So it was actually already given. It was on the page that you got into this webinar. Frank can post a link to that in the chat in case anybody wants to go there and grab it. Now, it's the same place they'll get the replay to this and the slides to this. Okay. But, Russ, if you have a couple seconds, there are some like nitty-gritty questions that I think before going ahead we should get into. Okay, so what happens if somebody types in the word incorrectly, like the keyword incorrectly, or it's rollover is one word instead of two, just like small little nuances like that?
It's a great question. Now, back when Google was dumb, all right, excuse the bluntness there, but when Google started, it was not very smart, right? It was much smarter than Yahoo or Lycos or AltaVista or any of the other competitive search engines, and that's why Google is Google today. But even back in, you know, when I got started in SEO, it was like 2004, all right? So 17 years ago, I got started in SEO, and you could trick Google in a lot of different ways by optimizing your page for misspellings or, like you said, having a space versus not a space. Today, Google does, they know. They know what the spelling was supposed to be. They know that there was supposed to be a space there, and still the best page will win today. You're not going to trick Google by, you know, and if your client has a page about rolling over 401ks and somebody puts one L in rollover or doesn't put a space between roll and over, they're still going to win that traffic today because Google has become so much more advanced.
Yeah, perfect. And then how do you determine the placement of the keyword in the ad or the article to catch the eye of the searcher or, I guess, AI?
Yeah, so great question, and something we're not going to get into today, but the resource I'm going to give you at the end, which is really, really awesome, is going to give you something called the on-page SEO checklist. And so on-page SEO is literally what that question is about. Where do we put the keyword in the copy? You know, if I'm writing an article for somebody, where does this keyword go? The on-page SEO checklist, which is very similar to this, it's also something that we go into great detail in the SEO copywriting class. And what is it? It's a certification, really. The certification course that we teach goes into great detail about on-page SEO. But the resource I'm going to give you at the end of this is the on-page SEO checklist, which tells you, okay, every time I build a page, I'm going to go through and check all these things off. Did I put the keyword here, 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 and here on the page? And then you should be golden.
Okay, cool. So I think we can move ahead for now.
All right. So if you can grab this because or you can grab it later and just kind of pay attention, but this is the keyword planner. It's writable. You should be able to type into it. And it contains research, compare, buy, and succeed intent with spaces for you to put keywords that you want to go after at different stages for your clients and or for your business. And it gives you some popular modifiers that get used in these stages. So if we take the term buy shoes and we just put it in all four of these top things, we can go and say, how to buy shoes. I don't know if that's a great one or not, but guide to buying shoes. Somebody might type that in. But things that contain research intent, you want to take that term buy shoes and add research intent. And then you would go along here and add compare intent and then buy intent and then succeed intent. So let's go through one together. Let's do one together. So love this espresso maker company, Breville. Okay, so they make espresso machines, and let's say there's some of their awesome stuff. Let's say you get hired to create SEO copy that sells more, wait for it, espresso machines. So they want you to sell more espresso machines because that's what they do. They sell espresso machines. So what are you going to do as their SEO copywriter? How can you help me write or sell more espresso machines? So what I want to do is complete this keyword planner for all four stages of intent, from research all the way to succeed for this company. And I want to use both branded and unbranded modifiers throughout here. So if you have this thing, I'm going to jump into Answer the Public. Now, I want some participation from y'all out there in all the different places that Jade mentioned at the beginning, everywhere from St. Louis right here in my hometown to Kenya. If anybody can beat Kenya in terms of distance from St. Louis, they win a cookie from me today. And otherwise, our friend from Kenya wins. Jade, I'm going to ask people to look at what I'm looking at here and tell me if they see anything that research intent, like the keyword has research intent. I'm going to bump this up a little bit. Take a look at these keywords. I typed in the term espresso machine into Answer the Public, and this is what Answer the Public came back with. Can anybody, you might have to tilt your head, but can anybody see anything with research intent in there? Is anybody answering?
Yeah, Holly was really quick on this and said espresso machines under $500, how espresso machines work.
Yes. Write that article for Brett. Write that page. That's SEO copywriting is coming in here. You type in the seed keyword espresso machine, and you start to see that there is almost an unlimited amount of copy that needs to be written for Breville, isn't there? If they said, we want you to bring in a lot more new traffic into our site from people that are interested, they're in the research stage of buying an espresso machine, man, you come in here and you type this in and you're in business. You know, you come back to them, you say, I've got 758,000 articles that I'm going to write for you, and this is how much all that costs, right? Because there's just so many different directions to go with this. Let's see if we can find let's move along here because, you know, you can see which espresso machine makes the best. How do you say that, Jade?
Crema, that's it.
Crema? when, I don't know. So, like, there's just so many different research intent ones, and there's even some other intent, like even some buy intent stuff in here as well. But let's jump down, because answer the public doesn't stop there. Wait, there's more. So here's some prepositions. I'm going to skip past that and go to what we call compare inside of answer the public. Take a look at this compare intent stuff here that you could build content for. You could write articles and create, you know, whatever you want to do. You could create videos if you wanted to. You could create anything, any sort of content that could be created to satisfy these compare intents. And some of these are very unbranded. Like, look at this. I can tell you that this article is getting searched a lot, because I used to think the Keurig was like the coolest thing in the world. But now I know that I can make much better coffee and espresso. So what is, you know, build that page. Optimize for the keyword phrase espresso machine or Keurig, espresso machine versus Keurig, espresso machine or coffee maker. I've never heard of the Mocha Pot. We'll check it out as soon as I get off here. But guys, are you seeing this? Is this get you excited? Like, tell me in the comments area, like flood Jade with comments if this is making sense, because I want you to be able to see just how many ideas there are for content, and the fact that this is how you connect back to making your clients money, because Breville will pay you to build them content that compares an espresso machine to a Keurig. That
David said, wow, amazing. And there is a good question in here when it comes to using Answer the Public. Does it matter if those dots are like different shades of green? Is the darker green mean that it's a stronger term?
I don't think so. No, I just think it's design.
Okay.
But look at another little trick here, guys, when it comes to comparing tech, because we do have a little bit of time to get into some cool stuff here. If you go and you take Breville here, like let's go back to our Breville page. Let's go back into the deck real quick and look at Breville. So let's look at an actual brand. Well, let's just type it in. I didn't look, I have brands there. So let's go in and type in Breville Barista Express. Okay. That's a brand. Okay. They own that brand. Now let's type in the term Verse. Now when I type in that term Verse, Google knows I'm trying to compare. Okay, they know that I'm trying to compare, so they're going to drop down in their autocomplete. They're going to drop down a bunch of different things that a lot of people, you know, typically compare the Barista Express brand to. Now, this is all pages that need to be built. To bring in traffic, that intent right there, when somebody's typing in a brand versus brand, that person's very close to buying. They're very close to buying. Think about how you use Google. You're very close to buying. So let's see what ranks when we click here and we look at this intent. Breville Barista Express versus DeLonghi, DeLonghi. Why do we have so many hard things to say on this call? It's going to pop some Google search results, some Google shopping results, but it's also going to pop this. Why? Why did it pop that? I'll tell you why. Because this company hired somebody just like you to build a page that answers that intent. They anticipated the intent. They went and built a page, and they did a few really easy things that, again, I'm going to show you that I'm going to give you access to in that last resource. They did a few easy things to get the page to rank by placing the keywords in the right spots and different things. So there you go. Answer the Public is an awesome resource. And what you would do with that keyword planner is go through and look for all the different types of intent. And you might say, Russ, this one seems to fall somewhere in between buy and research. Don't worry. Don't get too worried about that. just make a list of keywords and put them close, right? Sometimes something with compare intent might also maybe belong in buy intent. Excuse me. Excuse me. So you've got, you know, something that maybe belongs in compare intent that might also maybe be a research intent. Don't stress out about that. Instead, get yourself a list of keywords here for whatever it is they want to sell, or however, you know, whatever the service is or whatever it is, and stack these up and then say, I'm going to build pages and resources around these keyword phrases right here because they are showing intent, whether it's research, compare, buy, or succeed, they're showing intent that we want to capture. We want to capture that traffic. All right, so before I jump into the next resource I want to give you guys, which is absolutely free, I'm gonna pause here and ask Jade if this was making sense or if anybody's...
We do have a few questions and a little education for you, Russ, that apparently the darker green does indicate a better search topic according to the masses. And then, so do you create pages for different intents or do you put all intents phrases on one page?
What a fabulous question. What a fabulous question. So Google wants you to tell them what a page is about, right? So you can't, I can't answer this question definitively, but I want to explain how Google is going to look at this page. So if you have a page that is trying to be too many things at one time, right? It's trying to be the page about this and that and this and that, right? Google's going to come in there. They're going to say, yeah, it's not 100% really about anything. I want you to think about the website that we all probably use, or most of us use, which is called Wikipedia. Wikipedia has a page about Abraham Lincoln. Okay, they have a page about Abraham Lincoln, and when they feel like they have enough content, for example, about the Gettysburg Address, they might talk about the Gettysburg Address in that article, but they might feel like, okay, actually, this is a big enough topic that I need to create a new page that is just about the Gettysburg Address and optimize that page for information about the Gettysburg Address. So there's really no definitive answer to this except to say that a page can't be 15 things. And so as SEO copywriters, what we typically say is find a primary keyword that you want to rank for and build the page around that intent, right? So, you know, because that's the thing. Find the keyword. You find the keyword and then think to yourself, why would someone type this in? Why would, what are they looking for? What intent are they trying to satisfy? And then build the resource that satisfies that intent. And you know what? Build the best resource available online to satisfy that intent, and you will start to see search traffic. You do that over and over again. Keep building new pages that have, you know, one or two keyword phrases that you're going after. Determine what that intent is. What is that person trying to do? Then build the resource that satisfies that intent 10 times better than any other page, and you're going to start seeing traffic. No, other questions?
Yeah, so when it comes to using this for a client, you're not submitting or handing in this, right? You were. This is the question, so let me try and phrase it better.
Yeah, I know. I got it. I think I got it. I think they're saying, like, you don't – this isn't a deliverable for a client.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I would, if I'm an SEO copywriter, when I go to land the client, I'm going to say, like, okay, let's jump on a call and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And I would show them this. I would show them this keyword planner. Maybe you cut the bottom off of it so that it, you know, and blank that out. But this is both an internal resource, but this is also impressive. You know, one of the things we talk about so much in the certification course is getting clients. How do you get clients? How do you talk to them? How do you close sales and stuff like that? We talk a lot about that in there. And one of the things I talk about in there is bringing things like this to meetings before, you know, whether you're, let's say you're on Zoom and you're just like, let me show you, I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to show you, how I'm going to go about getting you, because your client doesn't care about this, but they do care that you know what you're doing, right? And that you know that over here on the left, I'm going to start bringing in a lot of people that don't even know that you guys exist, right? They're in the research stage. They don't even know about your brand yet. They don't even know. So these are the keywords I'm going to go after over here. In the compare stage, I'm going to go after this stuff. In the buy stage, I'm going to go after this stuff. That, I'm telling you, that will close that deal for you. That client's going to be like, sounds good. Just send me an invoice. All right. And ask me how I know. It's because I do this stuff for a living. I do my own consulting work. I do my own work, and I know what closes deals, and things like this do. They close deals because people are like, every other chucklehead that's come in here has just been like talking about some magical pixie dust called SEO. Whereas this person came in with this keyword planner and is like, this is how this works, and this is how I'm going to get results for you. Yeah, let's jump into this I'll do questions right after this. I'm in no rush. So I want to tell you about something that's really cool that launched yesterday, Jade. Right?
I think it actually this morning.
We've been working on this at AWAI for a while, and it is an amazing resource called The Ultimate Guide to SEO Content Writing, and it's fully free for all of you to go over here and get a lot more information about being an SEO copywriter. You can access it at awai.com/SEO-content-writing. I don't know if Fran could drop that into the chat, or I bet you she already did.
Yeah.
Like, all right, dude. But I want to kind of run through it really quickly with you guys to show you what we have for you over here on awais.com site. And I'll show you that on page SEO thing that was such a good question earlier about where do you put these keywords and different stuff like that. The first thing is, I'm telling you, this is not technical. This is not technical. This is about writing a superior resource. So that's step one. And then there's a few little things that I'll show you how to get more info on in terms of like where you put the keyword and different stuff like that. So you can see that there's a lot of content here. We're in Friday afternoon, and this is a great time for you, especially if you're excited about this topic and about getting going with this. Friday afternoons for me, a lot of times I block out to learn more, and this would be a great time to go through and read this resource. So it's a multi-chapter resource on SEO content writing, and there's an introduction here, and then what I really wanted to draw your attention to, I'd love for you to read the whole thing, but if you were really just interested in that question about what do we do on the page, like with the keywords, that's chapter one. And chapter one comes along with a download that's very similar to the keyword planner. It's another resource that we use in my certification course on SEO copywriting. And so read this page, because that's going to tell you, here's your checklist right here, okay? So it tells you what to do with the keywords, and it's got critical, important, nice to haves, and stuff like that. Okay, so awai.com/SEO-content-writing is where you can get access fully free to The Ultimate Guide to SEO Content Writing. The other resource that I wanted to tell you about is the class that I teach called SEO Copywriting Mastery and Certification. We are literally in the middle of opening enrollment for this class right now. Is that right, Jade?
Correct.
Yeah, so we have open enrollment for this class. I would love to have you get, if you got on this call, you like the sound of this as adding it to your bag of tricks as a writer or launching a business around this concept of SEO copywriting, this is the class. I'm going to teach you how to get clients. I'm going to teach you how to get them results. That's when I started with building this class, and we've already had one group go through, and it's so awesome because we have this big Facebook group in there, and the Facebook group is awesome because they ask us questions. There's a couple of other instructors that are involved, and they ask us questions, and everybody gets connected and works together. And so many people by the end of this class were already getting clients. And that's super fulfilling for us at AWAI and for me in particular to see people, because I'm telling you, like right now, this is a great business to be in. Digital marketing, which is the business that I'm in, is a great business to be in because it's very insulated from what's happening. I mean, it's not completely, but it is insulated from all this stuff that's happening. Here's what we cover in that class. We do an intro. You don't need to know anything about SEO. You don't need to know anything about digital marketing. You don't need to be some coder or developer or technical wizard. This is not about that. This is about copywriting. This is about being an artist that understands how Google works. And that's what we cover in the second session in week one. And then we get into the fundamental building blocks. I start from the beginning and teach you the fundamental building block of SEO, how to write copy for search engines and humans, how to write core web pages like the homepage, the about page. These types of things are very popular type projects that your clients would want. And that's one of the things I love about this way we structured this certification class is that when you're finished, you're going to have projects that you can sell. These are literally products that you can bring out to your clients and say, do you want me to write your core web pages? This is what this comes with. It's no different than selling shoes in as a product. These are the products. And one of those products that you would sell to your clients is I'll write your core web pages for you. I will rewrite your homepage, about page, and the different core web pages on your site. Then we go through a product that you can sell called Now With More. And then there's another product that I call the serial article. These are fantastic things to package up and sell to clients, is what I call my Now With More process and my serial article process, which gets them results. Then we literally, there's a spec opportunity to build something called an SEO magnet. This is the granddaddy project. When I do these for people, they cost between 10 and 20K for me to build the SEO magnet. And I've even done quite a bit of just consulting and training on how to build SEO magnets. That's in that five-figure range. So we also do some bonuses. There's actually one not too long from now, and I'm so bad with dates, Jade would know, but how to productize your business. It's on the 12th, okay. So get signed up if you're interested. We're going to be doing that bonus on how to productize your business. I'm going to teach you how to build customer personas, which are cool, man. They're very cool because – and they'll help you in your writing no matter what kind of writing you're doing. I do the 8-minute SEO audit. And then, of course, that on-page SEO checklist. We go very deep into on-page SEO in the class. It's the SEO Copywriting Mastery and Certification class. You can find out more about it at awai.com/micromoments. So go over there if you want to learn more about this certification we have coming up. Now, I would love nothing more than to answer some awesome questions.
We have so many right now, but also rest is a lot of praise about how, like, this is the first time people are actually understanding this whole process and that you are amazing, they're saying. So a lot of excitement and a few folks who have already signed up. And so I'm so excited that they'll be joining us because I was a part of this course the last time we did it, and it was incredible and so exciting to see people getting clients during and being able to have Russ help them with it. So can't wait to do it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, the people that you'll meet in this certification, that was the coolest thing. Like everybody's kind of in the same boat when they start. And it was so cool to watch everybody become an SEO copywriter and people helping each other out. In fact, one of the people that that was such a good student in the class is actually going to be helping out as sort of a teacher's assistant on this next one. I mean, it's just, there's a little bit of that community aspect that I think is hard to describe that happens in these classes. So what questions do we have?
May from Singapore is asking if this method works in Singapore, and obviously we have people from all over the world in this call, so does it work worldwide?
Yeah, so when Google basically came in and stomped Yahoo and AltaVista, and then, you know, Microsoft even tried to come out with Bing, every search engine today pretty much is patterned after Google's model. So whether people in Singapore are using Google or not, or whether there's more a more local search engine that's more popular over there, these methods are going to work because Google solved the problem. The problem was, how do you index and organize the web and help it so that people can find things? And they came in and beat everybody at that game. They were so much – I mean, the reason we all use Google is because they rarely fail us, right? They find things for us. So the way a search engine works is the way a search engine works. The possible exception to that would be maybe in China, right? So because they have so much control over how information is controlled, this is probably there's probably something different going on there. But Singapore, absolutely, no matter what search engine they're using, they're going to be copying Google's model, which is what I'm going to be teaching in this class, how to get rankings in Google.
And another really good question, you know, you were bringing up shoe companies. So, for example, Brenda's asking, Adidas carries hundreds of different styles. Do you build a page for each of those styles and try and rank for each of those, or how would you handle that?
Yes, absolutely. So if you go and look at, if you go to, you know, there's a great site to look at when it comes to this kind of thing is REI.com, which is a big outdoor retailer. And just go and click around in there, and you'll see that there is an individual page. Let's say they sell 150 different types of tents, right, that you can sleep in on the side of the mountains. Well, they're going to have an individual page for every single one of those tents. And that's called the product page. And, yeah, we're going to talk all about that in the class as well in terms of, like, how e-commerce companies structure their websites. But, yeah, there's going to be an individual page for every one of those. And that's why we need writers, because we need people to create this copy. Like, who's going to write 150 different product descriptions of these tents? You are, right? And they're going to pay you to do it. It's called job security. And, you know, don't think about this as one of the other things that we do throughout the course is I show you little niches inside of SEO copywriting where it's like, you think you might dig writing this because there is an entire industry that does nothing but this. And one of those examples is writing product descriptions. You know, e-commerce companies need e-commerce companies that carry lots of what we call SKUs or products need people that know SEO to write the product descriptions and write them in an interesting way, but also understand the search engines.
Well, Melissa says she feels empowered. And Laura said that's finally making sense. She struggled through several books on the topic. Your extension from earlier, Maggie recognized it and said it's called Keywords Everywhere.
So oh, yeah, it Maggie. Is. Keywords Everywhere. Yeah, Keywords Everywhere. I use so many different dang tools, and they're all been installed for so long. Keywords Everywhere is a Chrome. If you use Google Chrome, you go and just type in Google Keywords Everywhere extension, and then you'll be able to install that extension, and you'll be able to see the same thing I was seeing, which is when you Google something, it shows you a whole bunch of other keywords that you could go after.
I think it's a big question, the question about voice search. So now that everybody's doing, obviously, searching via their voice on the phone, are the search words people speak different than the ones that they type?
Yeah, I mean, yes, and we'll cover that in the class, but the long and short of it is yes. And there's a couple things. One, people ask questions. We won't jump back in there because I don't, but if you go in and answer the public, that tool we use, there is nothing but questions in there. And that's a lot of how we use voice search. The second part of how we use voice search, or the second thing to know about voice search, and you know, when you say, hey Siri or hey Google or whatever, Alexa this, it's kind of a winner take all, right? Because you're not seeing 20 different results in there. You know, Siri's going to come back with the one result they think is the right one. So that makes the stakes even higher for good people that understand SEO is that it is a winner take all. You're either in the first result, or you know they're not going to read you 10 results. It's either you are in the first spot or you're out.
Okay, Errol has a question in terms of the course, and we can answer this easily if it's going to be if every session is going to be recorded if you cannot attend live. And the answer is absolutely.
Yeah, that's more of a you question.
So we have Fran on here who's always in the background, but always makes sure that within 24 hours, your posting is up, your slides are up, everything that Russ mentions and throws our way is up on your member page. So yes, you never have to attend live. Let's see what else we got going over here. There's so many questions. Oh, you know what? Let's go to a Facebook question. So Krista is asking, how important are tags in WordPress, and do you recommend using?
Okay, so that's getting very specific, but I will say that WordPress, first of all, so just so you guys know, WordPress runs about 20% of the web today, and WordPress is what we call a CMS, so you don't need to know what that means. Basically, it's the thing that we log into so that we can easily create pages without having to know how to code. So we can jump into there, we log in there, and it's like create a new page, and it's like type this thing, publish, and it goes live to the web. That's called a CMS, and the most popular CMS on the web today is called WordPress, and it runs about 20% of the internet, including some of the largest publishers, like TechCrunch, for example, runs on WordPress. I think the Chicago Tribune run.com runs on WordPress. So the big picture here is that using WordPress is good for SEO. And that's one of the reasons why it became so popular so fast, is because the way the site gets architected and built, but without you knowing anything about it, the way WordPress builds out the site, Google just loves it. And I'll say on the other side of that, so you got WordPress for just about any kind of site, but then if it's an e-commerce site like REI.com or Target.com or Walmart.com or any of these big e-commerce sites, most of the web now from an e-commerce standpoint is run on Shopify. And that is because, again, Shopify is great for your SEO, the way the site is architected. Just naturally by the way they build out your pages and stuff like that is great for your SEO. So it's really the two CMSs for most of us, the two things we would use to build a website are either going to be WordPress or Shopify. Now in terms of whether to use tags or not, tags are, in my opinion, not great for SEO, and I exclude them. This is going to get in the weeds, guys, if you don't close your ears if you don't want to hear the technical side of this, but I exclude all tags from being indexed by Google. I don't want my tag pages in the index. To be an SEO copywriter, you need to know nothing of what I just said. But I just wanted to make sure that question was answered.
Well, this bodes well to that, because Kofi is asking in the certification, how deep do you dive into technical aspects?
Oh, so great of a question. So I say that there are two types of SEOs, okay? There's the artist and there's the engineer, all right? It used to be that the engineer was the most valuable. It's the person that knew how to trick the search engine more usually. Today, the engineer, the person that understands the technical side of SEO, is still very important, especially for large websites, because the search engine Google is a program. It's a bot. It comes in, it tries to crawl and understand the website. And if you create technical issues, which we're not going to go into here today, if you create what I call walls or speed bumps for that bot, it's going to come in, it's going to have a harder time understanding your site, and it's going to turn around and go out, and you're not going to get as much search traffic. So the technical SEO, the engineer, they understand all of that. That is not who you are, okay? If you are that person, that's great. But what this class is about the artist, okay? It's about the person, the other type of SEO that creates the content And that person does not need to understand why the robot can't get into the website or why this, why that. Now, what I am going to teach you in this class is to do something called smell the gas leak. So if you walked into your house and you smelled a gas leak, you'd be like, I smell there's a problem. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to call the utility company. That's what I'm going to teach you in this class, is how to recognize when there's a gas leak on that site, that there is a major technical problem. And then what I'm going to teach you to do is partner with a technical SEO. I'm going to talk to you about how to talk to the engineers on that team, right? The people that already work at the company that has hired you, to tell them, hey, there's a gas leak over here. You should go fix that. But what this class is about is it's about creating content. You're not going to need to know HTML. You're not going to need to understand servers or any of that stuff.
And not need to understand WordPress, correct?
You don't need to understand WordPress at all. No. You really don't. What we need right now is people that can create superior content, superior experiences, things that educate, inspire, things that entertain us, right? Things that are interesting, better content, but also understand that there's a certain thing, there's this weird thing out there called Google, and it, in over 4 billion people will search it today, right? There'll be over 4 billion queries pushed through it today. And so understanding how that search engine works, in addition to understanding how to create great copy and to create great pages, great experiences. But what you don't need to do is be able to put the page online. You need to be able to write in Microsoft Word. And I'm going to give you all those templates in the class as well. There's going to be all the templates that you'll write in that you can use with your clients and turn your stuff over to them. They put the page online. That, you know, now if you are good at WordPress, bonus, right? Tell them that you'll put the page up. Honestly, I promise you, if you can use email, you could probably get to where you could put a page up on WordPress, right? Because I am not technical. I'm not technical, but I can use WordPress because it's that easy. That's one of the reasons why it runs 20% of the web, and a lot of your clients will be on WordPress.
I told you that we were going to get this question. Is this applicable for B2B and B2C?
This is applicable to B2B, B2C, C2B, C2C, C2 anything. This is about search, and Google is everywhere. Business-to-business clients are going to need it, and B2C is going to need it. I mean, think about it. Everybody uses search engines, so this is absolutely applicable across B2B and B2C.
So there's a concern here about when they've looked for jobs for SEO writers that a college degree and experience has been required. So, you know, our certification is not equivalent to a degree, but why don't you, for those having the similar concern of no experience before going into this, getting clients, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to find job postings that say they want that and they want this, but I'm telling you this, your clients want results. They want to be able to get more leads and sales. They do not care if you are a college graduate or even a high school graduate. If you come to them with the stuff that I'm going to show you how to prepare, right? When you come to them and you say, this is the product that I'm selling you, this is how it works, this is the price, this is how long it takes, and you're not going to have any problem. I mean, you're going to run into those sort of people that are like, I will only hire you if you've, you know, got a master's degree. It's like, well, bye, right? There's plenty of people out there that need this work done. Here's one of the funniest things that happens in this class, Jade, is like once I start showing you, it's like session 3, I believe, or 4, once I show you that stuff, you will start to go on websites and you'll be like, oh my God, that person needs my help. Because you'll immediately recognize that they don't understand SEO at all. And what you'll find is about 90% of the sites online have SEO problems. They don't get it. And that's, again, the pool of different businesses that are available right now.
Okay, awesome. There was a question about length of whatever you're linking to. So is there a particular minimum or maximum length for blog post, article, content piece for the SEO copywriting to entice search engines to place you higher?
Okay, so the short answer is yes. Depth of coverage, what I call depth of coverage, is an important factor, right? So if someone's looking for an article about how to grow big, red, luscious tomatoes, all right, which I really want to do this year. I want my tomatoes to be better than they were last year. So I'm looking for an article on that. The more thorough coverage of that resource, the better, right? The long answer is no, right? So the short answer is yes. Depth of coverage is a thing. You can't write – you're not going to write a 100-word article about how to grow the biggest, reddest, luscious tomatoes and get that page to rank. It's just ain't going to happen. But do you need to go look at who is ranking number one for that and say, I need to create something longer than that? Not necessarily, no. You need to create something better. It is an indication of the length that you want to be close to. But this is not about Google coming on your page and counting words. That's not, I mean, we're way beyond that, right? Google today is an artificial intelligence that is smarter than you would ever believe. The people at Google don't really even understand how Google works anymore because of all the machine learning. And so, that might just freak some people out, but it's true. I mean, Google is so advanced today that they can tell when a resource is better than another one. They can tell when things are accurate. They can tell based on all the different signals and you know, it used to be that, especially before Google, yeah, you could get to rank simply because you not only did you write a longer piece, but you just stuffed the keyword in there 50,000 times and the guy next to you did it 40,000 times, and so you win. That's not how this works anymore. Today, it's about creating superior content. And depth of coverage, I think we would all agree, is part of that. Did you cover did you satisfy the intent thoroughly? That's all I got to say about that, Jade.
I hope I'm not mispronouncing. It seems like the theme of the day. I think it's, yeah. Ruchi is asking how to utilize SEO charge for their service. Oh, sorry, wrong question. How to distinguish my SEO services from a lot of other SEO services, because becoming a writer is one of her dreams. So how would you distinguish yourself after basically taking your course, I would say?
Remind me again when we're doing that bonus, the 12th?
The 12th.
Okay, so on the 12th, I'm going to talk about this concept called productization of a service, okay? That is how I'm going to teach you to come in and win deals, okay? When you walk in to see a client, and let's say they're looking at two other people that are going to provide that service, I'm going to show you how to walk in there and say, this is how this works, okay? And think about this, okay? Let's tell a story, and don't let me go on a big, long tangent here, but I had this crack in my driveway, right, and I needed it fixed. And so I called three different people that could repair this crack. The first one answered the phone. They were like, hello? And I was like, hello? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, is this such and such concrete? And they're like, yeah. And I'm just like, bye, right? Like immediately, I'm like, this person is not professional. They don't know what the heck they're doing. I finally get along, just to make this long story already shorter, I finally get to somebody that I say, I call the phone number, they pick up, and they're like, hey, ABC Concrete. I was like, yeah, I got a problem. I got a crack in my driveway. Okay, awesome. We can take care of that. What's your name? They started running me through a process. Okay, they started to run me through, like, this is how this works. Like, I'm going to get you. Like, they know that I have a crack in my concrete and that I want that repaired. That's the outcome that I'm looking for. What I'm going to teach you when it comes to SEO is how to do the same thing with these prospects. You're going to walk in. You're going to say, this is how this works. And the way I'm going to do that, if we go back to what we cover, is I'm going to give you these projects that you can do for them. Like, this is how writing core web pages works, Mrs. Prospect, and this is how I'm going to do it. That's what this class, more than anything, the reason this class I think is the best class on SEO copywriting is because of the fact that I'm going to give you these productized services. They are actual products that you can say, this is what I do. And it immediately differentiates you from the guy who's just like, well, I'm going to get you some results. You know, I'm going to do some things and you're going to end up with some stuff. I'm going to give you these projects so you can come in and say, this is what I'm going to do for you, or this is what I'm going to do for you, or this is what I'm going to do for you. And it's literally a product. I will go into greater detail on this on the 12th, but productization, taking a service that has no box around it and turning it into a product, taking a service, turning it into a product, has not just the benefit of helping you win more clients, but it is so much more than that that I'll get into on the 12th. So I hope you'll join us.
What about YouTube, Russ? Do they use SEO?
What an awesome question, right? Because the thing is that search is all around us. Yes, YouTube is a search engine. It's the second largest search engine on the planet behind Google, who owns YouTube. So YouTube, Google not only owns itself, but it also owns YouTube, and they have the top two search engines. Guess what else is a search engine? Amazon is a search engine, isn't it? And they all have a little bit different types of what we call algorithms that decide what ranks and what doesn't. But man, what we call vertical search started to look at, what if you wanted to just work with clients that have restaurants? Well, they might want you to help them rank inside of something like Yelp, the app Yelp, which, guess what? Yelp is a search engine. TripAdvisor is a search engine. Pinterest is a search engine. Facebook even has elements of search. They're terrible at it. No one does it like Google, but Facebook is a search engine, you know, at least partly. So search is all around us. And when you start to understand what search is, what search engines are looking for, how to get things to rank, yeah, you can start to apply these concepts to iTunes. If you have a client that says, oh, I have a podcast, I want to get this podcast to rank better in iTunes, or I want my app to rank better in iTunes, or I want my podcast to rank better in Spotify. All of these things are search engines, which is really nutty to think about. But search is one of the fundamental activities we do on the web.
Okay, and is this only valid for Google or other search engines?
Yeah, so we're going to focus on Google. I mean, what I'm going to teach you is how to get ranked in the granddaddy of all search engines, which is Google. But once you understand that concept, I think you're going to be able to take and apply these concepts. What you're looking for is, what are the primary drivers of the algorithm in that search engine? So in other words, in Amazon, the primary driver of search results, besides what I'll teach you in here, is how many reviews is that product getting and what is the velocity at which they're getting those reviews. Once you know that, now you know Amazon search. YouTube is about retention on the video. So the longer somebody stays on the video and the more videos they watch, the better your videos are going to rank. Once you understand that primary driver, now you understand YouTube SEO. So it all comes back to this concept of keywords that we covered today, plus, okay, so what are the primary drivers of this search engine versus that search engine? But we are going to be focused on Google.com.
Okay. And then when it comes to keywords, is there a particular number that you recommend?
The number in terms of what? And just a clarification on that question.
I'm guessing how many words, the number of words.
So if you're asking how many to bring to a client, filling out completely that keyword planner, I think is sufficient to land the customer. But then the more keywords that you produce, the more articles you need to write, which is, how you get paid. So you know, working up a good list of keywords into a spreadsheet or something like that, outside of even the keyword planner, but I would bring the keyword planner to them. Now, if you're asking how many keywords to optimize on a single page and how many to choose for a single page, I would choose 1 to 2 keywords per page.
Okay. And then owner, whoever you may be, mystery caller is asking, what about keyword density now? Is there a number of times a keyword needs to be used?
No, I mean, back again, 2004 all the way up, you know, until certain algorithm updates over at Google. Yeah, I mean, it was like literally the thing. That was the thing. What is the exact amount of times, the ideal amount of time? There were tools back then that you would put onto a page and that you would put a keyword in there, and it would tell you exactly what the right keyword density was. In other words, there's 1,000 words on this page. How many of those 1,000 words should be the keyword to get you to rank? It just doesn't work like that anymore. Again, the AI at Google is insane. They are the leader in the world, I would say, in terms of artificial intelligence, and it doesn't work that way anymore. Does that mean that we don't put the keyword in some places? We absolutely do, and I'll teach you where to put them. But this is no longer here's a great way to think about this, actually, Jade, is like if you answer this question yes, then it probably doesn't work anymore. And the question is this easy for me to manipulate? So is it easy to manipulate the number of times you put a keyword on a page? If the answer is yes, then it probably doesn't work anymore at Google. If you say every time you ask that question, if it's like, oh, yeah, that's super easy to manipulate, because guys like me figured this stuff out a long time ago. We exploited it hardcore, and then Google got smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter, and finally it's like, yeah, all you guys that understand how to trick us, it doesn't work anymore. So no longer can you really trick the search engine, which is really good news for anybody on this call who is a creator who likes to create. Right? If you like to build awesome stuff, build better articles, interesting articles, things like that, guess what? You are now in style, right? Because you can get results now that, you know, Google, the game is over. Google is not going to reward somebody for building like some garbage piece of content just because the person knows how to trick them with higher keyword densities or whatever.
I think so. I was typing an answer to May, and it brought up a good point about the fact that by learning how to do this for clients, you start by doing it for yourself to attract traffic to your site, right? So it's like a 2-for-1. Like you take what you're learning and you apply it to your own site before, you know, doing it for a client.
Totally. I'm a huge proponent of not just learning marketing, but also implementing it. And the way you do that is you go and you start a little WordPress site, and you can do that very, very easily. You know, and we do talk about that on the class. When we get into the how do you get clients section of the class, I talk about how to optimize your website to get more copywriting clients. And yeah, having a sandbox, I call it a sandbox, to play in and mess around with this stuff is key. I mean, like, And to do that is easier than you think. You just need to go build a little WordPress site, which might sound scary until you find out that all you need to do is kind of build an account at WordPress, and all of a sudden you have a website.
So this is going back to some of the questions that came up during the training. If the searcher is drilling down on their real intent, do we reverse to find the keyword modifier or bring the searcher to the client?
I feel like you just... What's that movie where the guy's sleeping and then he's sleeping inside of sleeping and he's sleeping inside of sleeping?
I don't
remember the name of it, but it's like somebody on this call will know what I'm talking about. The guy's dreaming and he's dreaming in the dream and he's dreaming in the dream. Repeat the question. So,
okay. So if the searcher is drilling down to their real intent, do we reverse to find the keyword or modify to bring the searcher to the client?
Yeah. So, great question, because Exactly what happens. We usually, you know, the way people use search engines, they start really broad, right? They'll start with something like mountain biking equipment. And then as they start to figure things out and learn more, their search becomes more and more specific. So what I will say about that is that there is some level at which you're so broad that it's not worth optimizing or creating content about. But there, you know, there's a level at which you say, okay, this level of specificity is what I'm going to go after for this client. And for me, that starts with research. It starts with if you can find intent where people are researching that product, look for that and look for very specific terms. Let me just bring this up because as an SEO copywriter, one of the things that you're providing for your clients is the ability to push out a lot of content and pages, right? So let's say you're creating 10, 20, I don't know, 50, depends on what you're writing, but 50 pieces of content, new pages for them. What you're looking to do is go after very specific types of intent. Remember, like we talked about the buy Adidas Cloud Foam shoes, that's much more specific intent. But the volume and the number of people searching that is going to be lower. But that's why you're so valuable, because you can create more and more and more of these pages. And the aggregate of the traffic that you're going to start getting for them, like let's say you build 50 pages for somebody that get 100 visits a month, or you build one page that gets them 1,000 visits, which one are they going to want from you? And so it's the volume also of the copy that you can produce for them that's valuable.
So the movie, and I can't believe I didn't get this, it was Inception.
Yes.
It is Inception.
What a great movie, right? And I still don't know what happened in that movie. I honestly don't.
I mean, that's
but
the thing. It's up to interpretation, but that'll be a whole nother hour, so let's not go. And so Jennifer wants to make sure she understands correctly that grammatically incorrect key phrases, keywords still work. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be like we would go and, you know, when you go and read that SEO, Ultimate Guide to SEO, when we talk about or when we cover it in the class, we'll talk about putting keywords here and putting keywords there. If somebody types the wrong, like let's say they type espresso and they only put two S's in there, instead of three S's in there, and it's like the Google is going to know what that person meant. And that's been the case for a long time. Believe me when I say, guys, that literally this is about having better products. It's about having better copy, better content. The rest of it gets taken care of with some very simple, here's where to put this keyword, here's where to put that keyword. What I really want you to understand is how do you find good keywords and good intent to go after for your clients? And then the artist comes in and takes care of the rest, the artist in you.
Okay. So Brenda's asking if you could perhaps go back to the keyword planner and just give an example of how you would use the Brevo for each, like to move like one phrase through.
Yeah. I've got this actually over here, so let's have them do it. All right. So if you're on this call and you're wanting to sell more espresso machines, give me a keyword to put in this research stage. So read a few of them out. If people are popping things in there, I mean, we know what this one might be. We had espresso machine versus Keurig. I know that's really small, guys. Let me pump that up a little bit. So espresso machine versus Keurig, that would be completely unbranded, right? But let's say we have Breville, what was it called? Barista Express versus DeLonghi was one. Okay. That's a keyword. That's a page right there. That's a page. That page needs to be written. And guess who's going to write it? You are.
For research, they have entered best espresso machines of 2020.
I love that.
Features of espresso machine.
Yeah, you guys are getting it.
top 10 espresso machines. I like Peggy's. Why espresso machines so expensive?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, listen, that's intent. There's intent there. At least a person, you know, you might want to create an article about that. I'll tell you why, because all these, I'll tell you why our things are pricey, because we're premium. We're, you know, are you able to create an interesting article about that? But yeah, what was that one? Top 10 espresso machines?
Espresso machines of 2020.
Yeah. And I mean, here's a good one, Jade, that kind of head go over here in research, but it also, if somebody's starting to compare, like they're looking, you might drop that one over here and compare, but who cares, right? This is not a right or wrong answer to this. Obviously, we might say buy espresso machine, but I'll tell you, I don't like this keyword. You're going to be up against, the first person you'll be up against probably is Amazon. Good luck. But can somebody give me a more specific buy intent keyword? Like, how about something with a feature on it? Like, buy espresso machine with what?
This price for espresso machine.
I like that. Yep.
Oh, espresso machine with foam maker. That's a good one.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so you go out there and you go after that keyword. You're gonna have a better chance of getting ranked for that because it's more specific. And guess what? That person has greater intent to buy because they now, you don't just know they want an espresso machine. They want an espresso machine with a foam maker. So if your client sells that, create that page, optimize it for that page.
Apparently, it's not foam maker, it's a frother, sorry.
Frother?
Frother. We're not hitting the words today.
Now,
timer, a grinder, yep, these are all.
Take a look at this one out here. I mean, like, after someone buys a Breville machine, what do they want to be able to do with it? Well, they might want to have to fix it. They might want to, like, how do you make that little heart thing? I bet you that's a – I bet you – how much do I bet that that's a keyword?
I think it would be called a heart thing, though.
Yeah, it's called the heart thing. Make
the official term.
Big heart in
oh, there we go. That's a good one. Replacement jugs for.
Let's see. Froth heart. No. This is why you do keyword research. Froth. But look at this. We start typing in froth. Let's see. Espresso froth.
I think it's more like a cappuccino and stuff than an espresso.
Yeah, you're right. Cappuccino. Froth. And we're failing. But you know, this is what you do when you're doing keyword research. You start typing things in, you type this and you type that, and you see what Google comes back with. You go into Answer the Public, you type that in. Here's that thing that they were asking about earlier, Jade, which is keywords everywhere. You know, I typed in cappuccino frother, and it starts dropping a ton of other stuff in here. And this is a free extension.
Oh, it's called Latte Art. The people have spoken again.
Okay. So let's go Latte Art. Yeah, I mean, okay. If you're working for Breville, can we – you know, and here, let me show you that trick I was talking about. So your latte art A, at home, almond milk, everything starts with an A, and then I go B, you know, for a beginner. That's a good keyword right there because that person's probably going to buy C, D, right? And then if you really want to get crazy, you go A, B, right? But you can also install a tool like Keywords Everywhere that starts to give you more stuff. I can remember, and I don't know, there's going to be some people on this call, Jade, that are probably maybe chins down like, man, this is really crazy that all this exists. And that's how I was when I got started in search engine optimization and understanding how Google works. I was like, wow, like this really makes sense. And if that's you, man, get in this class, because if you're interested in this, there's a whole world here, and there's money to be made. A lot of people come to me and they say, I don't understand how anybody makes money as a writer. And it's like, well, you got to be writing this writing the right things, right? You got to have the right. And that's one of the things I love about AWAI so much, is they show you how to actually make money as a writer.
Yeah.
A lot of people that get in this class are people that they keep their passion sort of writing projects going, but they also go and add something like this that they can use as a profession or a vocation to make some money.
So May is asking, what makes this training different to any others? And I mean, we're not really in the business of tooting our own horns, but I will say that AWAI has been in business for over 20 years. So we are the industry standard when it comes to all things, copywriting and related to that. And we are also, I'm going to toot Russ's horn for a second. We're very particular in who we bring to our members. Not only are they good teachers, but they're good people, and they care about you, and they care about your success, and they care that you don't just take this course, but that you find clients at the end of it. And the community that it creates is so phenomenal. Like Russ said near the beginning, it's hard to explain or pinpoint it, but once you're a part of it, you're in, and you found your people, you found your team. Which I think goes beyond RAS, it goes beyond AWA, it goes beyond the TAs. It's you find your tribe, you know. So if I had to answer it, I would say that's what sets this and us apart from other companies that are offering training. But of course, we would want you to make the best decision for you, and would never want, if it's not a fit for you, then it's not a fit for you, whatever works for you.
Yeah, from a curriculum standpoint, I agree with that 100%, Jade. I mean, like, the community, and AWAI has been around forever. They've been around longer than I've been doing this stuff. So I've been 17 years. These guys are pre-internet, right? So they've been teaching writing and copywriting and the different aspects of writing for longer than I've even been doing this stuff. I've taken a lot of their classes. But curriculum-wise, again, I'll go back to this idea that I am not just going to teach you SEO. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to get clients. That's the key here. Who cares if, I mean, yeah, great. I would love to be, you know, a lot of the SEO classes that are out there, you're going to learn SEO. Cool. All right, now how do I take that and turn that into a vocation? How do I add that to my existing writing business? That, you know, when they approached me to do this class, one of the awesome things about it was they said, I want you to really understand who our members are. And I did sort of intuitively understand it because I am one of their members, but they were really clear about, like, this is about helping these people not just understand the skill and how to execute on the skill, but also how to turn this into a real business, which it's not just myself that's going to be helping with that, but there'll also be other members in there. But there's also another instructor named Heather Robson who will be on the call, who is also runs a freelance copywriting business that she's phenomenal when it comes to talking about the ins and outs of winning clients and servicing those clients. So that's really what this is about. It's the front half of the class is going to teach you the SEO. The back half of the class is going to teach you how to run a business and how to turn this into a business.
Hey, so we did that, sorry.
And we're going to talk about that business side of it too, Jade, on the 12th.
Yes.
Is that right?
Because it is. It's a mindset thing, you know, working for yourself is a whole nother. And are you very proud that you remember the day there?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the time, but I'll be there.
It's 12 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah,
and the SEO research, should you look up articles that rank high for learning how it works? So I guess with similar keywords?
A nice thing to do when you're trying to rank a page is to go Google the keyword phrase that you're after and then browse yourself through the high-ranking pages to see what you're up against. I'm not sure if that – do you feel like I'm answering that question properly?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think taking a look at, you know, the question earlier, which is length, you know, what kinds of things do you find in there? What are they covering in there that you should also cover, but – what are you going to cover in addition to what's covered on that page? So yeah, I mean, a little bit of competitive research is helpful to see. And again, I want you guys to feel, whether you join our class or not, you can start getting started with adding this to your thing. And one of the ways to do that is become curious. Become curious about how Google works, what's working, what's not. When you Google something and you go and click on it, really pay attention to the page and be like, okay, this is why this page is owning the search result right now. I feel like it's because it's so well organized or whatever. So.
Okay. So I don't really know how to answer. Well, hopefully you know how to answer this. So one of your first slides was the no go do buy, correct?
So no go what?
No go do buy, the four micro moments.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So Maggie's trying to make a connection with that to the research compare, buy, succeed. How would you compare those two?
So the reason we bring up micro moments is because micro moments are really tied back to the mobile experience. I mean, if you think about, let me see if I can find that slide again. If you think about how we use the mobile search engine, it very much ties back to I want to do. Whereas the keyword planner, I really am zeroing in on a lot of I want to, you know. So the research stage encompasses multiple. If I find that slide again,
it's like the second or third one.
Way up here. There it is.
There we go.
So my keyword planner does not map back to this because I want to go wider than what Google's talking about with these micro moments. I want to go wider than just mobile. That said, everything that's in here is incorporated inside of either the research compare or buy or succeed. In particular, the succeed stage, and I'll talk more about this in the class if you join us. The succeed stage is a very neglected stage. One of the things that people in business say all the time is it's cheaper to keep the customers you have than it is to go out and find new ones. And here's another little SEO copywriting niche that you could build an entire business. You could build an entire agency of people writing just for software companies that need support information. Raise your hand if you're on this call and you've ever been using a software and you couldn't figure out how to make it do X, Y, or Z. So you go to Google and you don't find the answer. Now that is not a good experience and you're not likely to recommend that software product. You're less likely. You might cancel that product if it's a recurring because you can't use it for the way you want it. So the succeed stage is not included in these micro moments. And it's something that we focus on pretty heavily. There's an entire niche there, as I've said, not just with software, but also with physical products, services, using content to service customers you've already landed for your clients, and getting them to buy again, buy more, recommend your product, your clients' products or services to other people. So it's not a perfect one-to-one match. And that's because Google is really talking very, very mobile here. What else?
So we have
these are really fabulous questions, by the way.
We have a Facebook question from Susan Jane. Do you recommend sending writing samples to clients when they're looking for work?
Yeah. Yes. And you know one of the things. One of the other reasons I recommend having a sandbox, one of the other reasons I recommend taking our class is because you will have writing samples when you get to the end of that. But yes, I mean, when I hire somebody to do any kind of writing, the only thing I care about is to see their writing. But
they didn't have to work for those people, right? That's the difference. It's samples, it's not clients. I think that's an important differentiation.
Oh, absolutely. No, I want to see your writing. I want to see, it's like, you're going to write for me, I want to see your writing. So
The question earlier as to college degrees versus, where have you been? At the end of the day, most people just want to see your writing. And so, yeah, having a sample is very sufficient, right, to be able to say. But even more than that, what I'll teach you here is not just how to say, yeah, I can write. What I think people don't understand is that I can write may not get you paid the way you want to be paid. When you say to somebody, I know how to write, I know how to get you results, and this is the process that I'm going to use, the way I'm going to teach you in this class, that is how you get paid, guys, is you come in with a process to get results, and then you actually get those results. And then all of a sudden you put yourself in the top 1% of writers. You know, anytime a writer comes to me and they say, like, I charge 10 cents a word, I run the other way because it's like, I don't need words. Like, I can get words anywhere. There's even artificial intelligence that will write me words today. What I need is somebody that understands the skill of marketing. And in this case, search. Do you understand search or not? Because, words are words. There's a lot of people that can produce words. Don't get me ranting on that stuff, man.
Yeah, I'll stop you right there. In the compare articles, what do you do if there is already the brand to brand comparison that's been created?
Doesn't matter, especially if you own that brand, believe it or not. So Google knows that Breville owns Breville products. They know that. And the minute you go and you create that Breville page, you will kick that. So let's say there was some blog out there that decided, Breville's not creating these comparisons between this espresso machine and that espresso machine. I'm going to do it for them and suck up that traffic when people search for it. Typically, your client, is, since they own that brand, that website, if they go and publish a page, you're going to be able to get those rankings and kick that blog down the page a little bit. It doesn't always happen, but if they own that product and you build the page, you'll be surprised. It might be as early as the next day you'll start getting that traffic. It's crazy.
Cool. Do I understand correctly, you do not use meta tags at all? Do you leave those blank, or is it the engineer's job?
Well, meta tags is a big word. So meta meaning like, there's all kinds of meta tags. Meta tags are essentially tags that you don't see when you look at a web page. Like when I go to awai.com's homepage, there's all kinds of little tags that are underneath the design that I don't see, but the search engine sees. And there are tags that we will show you how to use, in particular the title tag, the meta description tag, and then we're going to teach you some tags that allow you to tell Google, do this, do that. I'll teach some of those tags. So there are tags that matter and there are tags that don't. I'm going to teach you about the tags that matter in the class. So meta tags do matter, but there are certain ones that are like, that's useless. Sometimes they were tags that were never useful, but other times they're just tags that Google no longer pays attention to them anymore.
Okay. And then back to YouTube, how do you use keywords in YouTube? Do you add them to the video? Is it the description?
Same deal. It's going to have, how do you optimize a video for YouTube? Well, first of all, the biggest things that you're going to need to do to rank on YouTube are things that are hard to manipulate, like keeping the watcher watching. How do you do that? You produce a better video, a better script. You write a better video script than the other guys, and that keeps them on. Remember I said earlier, if it's something that's easily to manipulate, it probably doesn't work that well anymore. So that's why the artist in you is needed. Can you write a better video that's more entertaining, more inspirational, more educational? But in terms of where do you put the keywords? You put it in the title. You put it in, actually, in, believe it or not, into the file name, like whatever, .mp4. Put the keyword in there. And honestly, guys, you go out to Google right now and type in YouTube SEO, and They will list out all the things that places you need to put the keywords in into your videos. And it won't be hard for you to do.
Okay. So I think this is a great question. Linda is asking, if you've been hired to edit copy that a client has, she's wondering if you could edit their copy and add value by integrating SEO to make them more competitive in search. Is this a process that people get hired for? And is this a service that people should be offering?
All the time. People get hired for this. And if you go back to my what we're going to be doing in this class, where is it? There's a process that I use called Now with More. And I'll teach you that process in the class. Did I pass it up? Good Lord. Okay, Now with More is week 4. So what you do, and I'll give it a short of this, because the class doesn't feel like, you don't feel like the class is for you. The Now with More process is about taking a existing page and adding to it, sometimes adding by taking away. As we know, sometimes the best way to add to something is by subtracting. But how do you improve the page? How do you optimize the page that's existing there? That's my project that I sell called Now with More. So just to give you an example, there's somebody that you'll meet during the class named Zoe. And Zoe was in the class last term or whatever we called them. What do we call them? Terms?
Semesters?
Huh?
I don't know, around the last round.
So Zoe, she won the spec assignment. Which means that she now does work for AWAI. And one of the things that she does is takes pages that exist on AWAI.com, and she does the Now with More process with them. It is a very easy way, actually, to start working with a client, is just to say, I'm going to take your existing content, whether it's on their blog or whether it's their existing product pages of their e-commerce, whatever it is, and just start making changes to those pages. And you don't need to be able to do it online. You would just do it inside of a Word doc that I'll give you the template for. And you hand that over to them. You say, make these changes. So yeah, very, very valuable to know how to optimize existing pages.
Okay. Leslie on Facebook is asking, how relevant is a meta description of any content, and does Google rank it?
Yeah. So the meta description, I don't want to get too detailed here. You can Google around about meta description if you want to learn more. But the meta description, the short of it is, it does not affect how you rank in the search engine at all. But writing a good meta description can help your click-through rates on the search engine results pages. We'll talk a lot about meta descriptions in the class. If you want to learn more about it, go to that SEO Ultimate Guide to SEO. There's also some great information in there about meta descriptions, title tags, different things like that in there. If you don't feel like the full class is for you, that resource is fantastic. You should go read it. And the short answer is the meta description does not affect rankings, but does affect click-through rates on the search page, search results page.
This is our last question, Russ, after this almost 2-hour marathon. And I think it's brilliant, but I think it's Inga is asking, why would anyone do web writing without considering SEO optimization? It seems like a must-have skill.
That is the question of the day. What a great way to end the call. I mean, like, yeah, there is no explanation for it, except are there pages that we build that go online that don't really need to be looked at by SEO? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are pages that it's like, that doesn't really need to be something where we're driving traffic from search. But, and I'll tell you what the argument used to be, is that, and this is a great way for us to finish up by letting you know again, if you're an artist, if you're one to write, this is why you're valuable. If you go back, let's just back up 10 years ago, you couldn't write a great article and get it to rank back then because there were so many spammy people that would write junky articles that were just stuffed full of keywords and very horrible, awful content, right? And it would rank in the search engine because the search engine was not smart enough to understand that just because the word cigar humidor appears in this article 50 times does not mean that it's a good article about cigar humidors. A page, you know, a page over here that only mentioned the term cigar humidor might have been the much better page, but it would not rank 10 years ago. And so a lot of people threw their hands up in there and they said, I'm not going to publish junky, keyword stuffed, horrible copy on my website just to get Google to send me traffic. So they said, we're not going to worry about SEO. We're going to buy our traffic. We're going to get it from social media, like sharing stuff on Twitter or Facebook and building up things over there. But what has happened, and this is important, over the last decade or so, there's been a war between the spammy SEO people that want to trick the search engine, is them versus Google. Let's call them the black hats versus the white hats. Well, the white hats won, okay? The good folks over at Google don't want their search results manipulated. And so what they're looking to do every single day, their spam team is trying to figure out how to just make Google just a little bit better at figuring out what's the best resource, no matter what keywords go here or there or whatever. They're trying to become a human that is able to look at something and say, that's beautiful, or that's inspiring, or that's smart, or that, and they are right there. And every time the algorithm updates, which is daily, by the way, and sometimes, you know, usually about once every couple of months, they'll do like a mass change that's like, oops, Google just got a lot smarter. And they kick out even more and more spammers. So why would someone not want to create SEO copy today? There's rarely a reason anymore, because you can still create beautiful, awesome, inspiring, educational, entertaining content and still get ranked today because Google has just gotten so good at recognizing better content. And that's, again, I'm going to bring us all the way back to, that's why if you're a creator, if you want to be a writer, you know, this is a way to do it and make a living doing it. This is a way to do it and make a living doing it. Ask me how I know. Right.
So. Well, I mean, the feedback has been phenomenal. So thank you so much, Russ, for doing this for our members. It's been,
it's been
incredible.
Fun.
And I am so excited for everybody that's going to continue this journey with us. But thank you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
It's been fun. Yes. And I hope you get the exact weather. I'm going to go outside right now and take a little walk because I've been sitting for a while.
Okay. Have a good one, everyone.
Bye. Bye, everybody.